Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. This is Pastor Dan Roth here with Pastor, Doctor. What else should we call you?
Bishop. Bishop.
Paulo Gondo is back with us on the podcast. This week. Always good to have you.
Yeah.
And just grateful for you and all that you do. For those of you that don't know Pastor Paul, he works with our Spanish ministry as well as missions.
Yep.
So, and you're headed out this year, right?
That's correct.
Where are you going?
We're going to four places this year. Man, it's an amazing.
Four. Yeah. You're not doing all four though, right?
No. Okay. No. We have different leaders, different areas, a lot of awesome things happening. We have April. We have people going to Mexico. Reynosa is a contact with where we through our missions department there.
And wonderful.
They're doing amazing things. May, they're going to El Salvador. And then June, end of June, early July, we're doing Thailand and Vietnam.
Really excited. Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Man, it's amazing to see what God is doing in the nations these days. And just excited about that and excited. And now, which ones are you going on out of those four?
I'm going to go to Vietnam this year.
That's the first time you're going there?
That is correct.
Wow.
Yeah, first time. We just had our interest meeting or conversations with our host pastors and leaders. Very exciting. Like, I didn't know Vietnam was still a communist country. So there's a lot of sort of things, checks and balances you have to do. You're not allowed to preach publicly. You have to get a special visa. So we're working through all that I wasn't aware of. But what God is doing there, it's simply amazing. Very exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah, we were able to meet some of the leaders at the International School of Ministry Conference.
Correct.
Yeah. And they came in, actually they came early, and they toured the place here at The Rock. And just neat to see some open doors in Vietnam and what God is doing there. And so just grateful for what you do for the nations and here in the Inland Empire, pastoring a great church, co-pastoring this church, you know what I mean? And even though, you know, a lot of those guys call me pastor, you're the one that's pastoring them and leading them. Because, you know, when they call and want to talk in Spanish, I can't do that. I can say hello and, you know, goodbye and some of those things. But, you know, I could probably survive.
I think you can.
It'd take me a while, but I'm not that good yet. But so some of your members actually talk to me only in Spanish. Because they're they're like, Pastor, someday you're going to preach in Spanish. And so I'm like, all right, just bring it on, you know.
Amen.
And then they'll teach me new words every now and then. So, because
you got chancla down, so that's a start.
That's all you need when parenting. I mean, fun stuff. So good things are happening. We're in this season right now. We just released, speaking of the ISOM, we just released our discipleship materials.
Right.
And getting ready after Easter to release those to the whole church. Currently translating those into Spanish.
That's right.
And that'll be neat to be able to release those there in our congregation as well as worldwide in Spanish, with our contacts and things like that.
Absolutely.
Just neat to see what God is doing. I was surprised because we were talking about it, and to get them translated through a reputable organization, about $2,000, something like that.
Right.
Not that bad, you know.
Right.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
But then, like, messing with AI.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
I just started putting the words in on one side. Have you looked at it yet? I sent it to you.
I have.
How is it?
It's great.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's actually better than I expected.
I'm doing really good at translating.
I know, he is. Your Spanish is awesome.
My Spanish is great.
So AI is changing the game in so many ways. The first time I ever translated with a translation software was probably 2006. Mm. So that was the first time I've always done it just, off my head and typing. And about 2006 or 2007, I think I started doing Dr. Barron's book, Unlocking the Abraham Promise. And that was through a translation software. It was a large material.
Yeah.
And is, one of the things with translation is, can it carry the theme, the idea, the heart? And this software did a great job.
Wow.
So we're just correcting accents, doing different things. Tracy and I are already almost done with the portion you gave us. So we're excited. I think we'll have it for Easter.
I better get back to work.
Yes.
Man.
You owe me 10 days.
I guess. Yeah. Wow. The last 10 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'm just putting out, I've got a software that does about 5,000 characters, and that's about a day's worth.
Okay.
And I'm able to put it in and then just copy and paste into the formatting that I already have. And so it's really been pretty smooth process.
That's awesome.
Kind of neat to see that. And for me, the implications of that is like, well, how many languages do they have on that program? And it's right now it's free for the 5,000 characters. So I'm just putting it in the one side, translating the other. But I mean, I can do German, French, Portuguese, everything else. Just kind of like, let's
get the material out.
Get this to the world,
Absolutely.
And we already have churches, had one church locally pick up the book. He came and got 200 copies.
Wow.
Didn't even change the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, even though his church has a different name. It was like, I mean, that's right. Awesome, you know, and, right. and really that just shows the heart that it's not about the name. It's about discipleship and, right. and raising people up. You know, I got rocked years ago, and you know this because you've been in our staff meetings and things like that, but I was reading an article, and it was talking about discipleship, and it made the statement, when does discipleship end? And it just, that concept to me was like, I had to stop.
Right.
And just think about what they were saying, because really, when we see discipleship in present day, most of the time it's a class. Go to That's our correct. Discipleship class.
Right.
Or go through our discipleship tract.
Right.
Right? If you do these 4 weeks, if you do these 8 weeks, if you do this 1 year, you'll be going through your discipleship tract.
Right.
And that's going to end after that year or weeks or whatever it is. But when it asks the question, when does discipleship end? If we go back to the roots of what discipleship really is, the answer to that is never, right?
Correct.
I mean, you probably had someone help you in your discipleship journey. You know, you have a in some ways, a similar story to me. You got saved as a teenager.
Right.
Right? Youth group, all that good stuff.
Yes.
Were there leaders that discipled you and, you know, poured into you? How did that look in your life?
Absolutely. I think what happens with discipleship with that question in mind is, because we, in our Western society, the educational system has an entry point and an exit point, I think a lot of people see their Christian life sort of in that direction.
Mm.
But when we say we're disciples of Christ, we are following Christ at every level. Now, there's things we're going to learn, but there is the entry point is, the confessional for salvation, but the exit point is heaven. So to me, it's just one of those things where it's just like, you just got to stay on it. And what I like about what you're saying, and many of our listeners probably don't know this in terms of their church world, since we're in our church world, one of the advantages, a lot of people criticize mega churches or large churches because we have systems, we have this, but coming from a small church before I came to The Rock, I also understand the lack of resources for you to have access to.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is available, and now that pastors say, hey, give me those books, I want to disciple my people, this is where the combination of the advantages of having the resources of a large church in order to bless those churches that are considered small in terms of size, but the reach and the discipleship remains the same.
Right.
And so coming from a small church where I was disciple in a way that was personable, in a way that it was different at every level. For example, my cousin, who was the pastor youth leader at the time, we were a small church, there was probably 15 of us, you know, probably 5-6 guys and the rest were girls. And he was just be so personal with us because it was such a small church, you know, and he disciples, and all of us are remaining ministry in some capacity. 5 out of those 6 are pastors today, including myself. And it was just such a personal touch. Now, that doesn't always happen that way.
Sure.
But what it does is it helps you on a journey to see life in a different way. And so to me, the encouragement is, who are you finding in your life? So if a stage ended, so the stage with my cousin ended, who was the next stage? And what are the things that you're developing now? And even now as a pastor, either growing with you or my relationships, you know, my personal friend, Pastor Joel, other pastors, there's always growth even in our own lives as pastors.
For sure. Yeah. No, I agree. We had something very similar. We had a youth group that was, when I started in it, maybe 30, and then got a new youth pastor, and he was really going after the campuses and things like that. We grew to 60, and you know, on big nights, it'd be 120 or something like that. But yeah, I mean, really going after it, really trying to make an impact on our campus. But there were some leaders that spent time with us. I mean, I remember going to church, and there was the back of one of my friend's trucks, and he had a camper shell on it.
Nice.
And like, I could just see two guys with their legs, like, you know, facing each other. And they had their Bibles out. And when I got closer, I realized that there was like 6 guys in the back of the truck, all kind of like huddled in, you know, and this was just, you know, they had their study Bibles out.
Absolutely.
And they were talking about the word
before
church.
Correct.
Those experiences, you know, I had one guy that took me on surf trips.
Mm.
And when we go down, like, we'd have Bible studies and we'd be talking about the word and, you know, and then we go surfing and then come back and hang out some more and talk about the Bible. And just, you know, I think that's the neat thing about discipleship is that it's very relational.
Correct.
It can be intentional.
Right.
You know, Jesus took every opportunity that he had along the way to teach about things, you know.
Right.
Even to the point where the week that he's going to the cross, a lady gives in the offering. He says, hey, boys, come over here and let's talk about this.
Right.
That was his discipleship. Amazing. Was, did you see what just happened?
Right.
You know, or he's telling stories to the people. And hear the disciples pull him aside privately and say, hey, can you tell us about that? Can you unpack that for us?
Correct.
And I think that's where in my life, you know, we at the ISOM conference, we just did in the middle of that, a pastor's refreshing. It was beautiful.
Right.
It was wonderful. There were some neat things that took place there. You know, definitely some moments and teaching and that sort of a thing. But in my evaluation, I'm looking at, is that the most effective thing that I can do to help other pastors and to help even people around me?
Right.
And where I'm landing is I'm finding like, no, I probably would be more effective if I open my life up to smaller groups.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and just pour into people.
Right.
And just let them ask the questions that they want to know about, you know, and that sort of a thing. And so I'm processing all those things in the midst of all this.
Right.
And that's where when we release these materials to the congregation, I'm going to have them go through it. And I want them to go through it with someone.
That's good.
You know, identify somebody that's ahead of you and just be like, hey, I want to go through this with you.
Right.
But then after they're done, hey, take someone through it.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
Why not? Correct. You know, like go find someone that's not where you're at in the faith. Doesn't matter if they're older, you know, younger, whatever. Go find somebody that's on the journey and live some life with them. Because if the way that these materials are designed, the end of it is the lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
I wanted to leave it open-ended at the end stages of it, because it does have some next steps and things like that, that we definitely want people to get involved in, attend, serve, give, relate, and grow. You know, those are foundational things for church attendance, for giving, for serving, all those kinds of things, relationships and all that. But really, in those last ones, I left it open that this is a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Because we'll never stop following Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We're never going to stop being a disciplined follower, which is really, you know, one of those basic definitions of discipleship, but it's relational and it's intentional, you know, and I'm so thankful for the people that poured in my life. I'm sure you could say, you know, like you said, I think it was your cousin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're so grateful for their influence. And my goodness, to have five.
Yeah.
I mean, it pastors was, it coming was out of that.
Yeah, it was an amazing.
Apparently, did process. Something right.
Yes,
right.
Yes, I think what you said. It was those moments. Those you know, chatting, seeing each other's lives, going on trips together, just living life in some ways. Now, I don't think any of us ever a conversation. I think only one out of the five felt really secure that he was called to be a pastor. All of us were kind of searching. Mm-hmm. We went on our separate ways to colleges, got degrees, and it all ended up back in ministry.
Yeah.
And so it was just one of those things where God orchestrated, but all came from that process of growing in discipleship. And till this day, we talk about it. My cousin who disciples, he now works for Compassion International in the Latin American side. And so, you know, it's just all of us ended up some way advancing the body of Christ. So here's the question, now that you're talking about this thing, and you know, in terms of the books releasing, what are the hindrances you've seen in discipleship, since you and I have a similar story, for nowadays? Like, we saw that we made the space, we were together in groups, but how do you see it right now?
You know, I think that one of the unique things to a large church especially is that people can come in, hide in the crowd, and leave without ever being noticed.
Yep.
And that's where, again, with intentionality, I think that's where, you know, in many ways, we have to help people on that journey. That's why we're so aggressive, you know, about discipleship and that sort of thing, especially in the beginning stages. We have found that if somebody goes through the spiritual personal trainer, we call it program, right? Mm-hmm. SPT. And if they go through that for those 5 weeks, that they'll actually be more likely to be planted in the church, more likely to serve, more likely to actually tithe, not just give, tithe,
right?
There is a difference.
Yeah.
There's a greater commitment to tithing than there is just giving. Giving's just whatever I want. You know, I'll give $20. Tithing is, I'm going to calculate 10% and I'm going to give that to the church.
Right.
So more likely for all those things and more likely to have longevity.
Correct.
And I think that speaks volumes to it. And some of the greatest hindrances, obviously, in a big church, if you're just coming in and you never assert yourself, or if the church isn't designed like ours is to be aggressive in that area, if the goal is just to come and sit, then you're going to come and sit.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
So that's one of the greatest hindrances I see, is that people will find the processes within that church or that organization, and they'll do it. You know, if it's to go to your Next Steps program, or, you know, a lot of people have, you know, different things that they take people through. One of the big ones is Rooted. On the college campuses now, I've noticed they're using Alpha.
Right.
Great materials. You know, right. I think they're phenomenal, right. Really, because they discuss who is God, who is Jesus, all those types of things, which we do in our materials as well. But these are a lot more in depth,
right.
and take a lot longer to go through. And if you can get people through that process, I think it's fantastic, because it gives those foundational truths. But there are those hindrances, and sometimes people are just like, man, I just want someone to talk to. You
Correct.
Know, I don't want to do a class, or I don't want to do
that's
a group.
Right.
And that's where that one-on-one thing is. And sometimes people do have a hard time identifying who is spiritually mature around me.
You know? Yeah.
And there's a danger there, because the Apostle Paul talked about how savage wolves will rise up from among you, not sparing the flock.
Right.
Sometimes the people that are actually in a church aggressively looking for disciples are the ones that are not... The ones
healthy,
that are approved,
yes.
Yeah, healthy, and we've seen that time after time.
Correct.
Like, I noticed so and so is over there. You know, they're constantly talking to them. They're in the car with them. Then there's some meeting that they're posting online. Why is so and so there? You know, and it's like, what's happening here? You know, and so that's where the Bible tells us as leaders to know those that labor among you.
Correct.
You know, to watch over the flock that's been entrusted to us, to gather them. And again, that's where the intentionality of it. Discipleship is not a program. It's not a class.
Yep.
It's relational living together. And if we can empower the leadership to identify people and to take them along for the journey, you know?
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest things about becoming a pastor. I don't know your experience, but when I came on at The Rock, I was the youngest guy. I was 24 years old.
Wow.
Right? They took me to the table. It's so funny. We're in a room like this with a big table, and Pastor Jim was at one side. He said, "All right, Dan, you're going to be a pastor. We're going to ordain you, and so you're a part of this meeting now, so sit down." Well, the only chair that was available was, like, on the wall back behind, so I, like, sat on the chair at the wall, you know?
Right.
And so they were getting ready to start the meeting, and they looked over, and they were like, "Pull your chair up to the table," you know? Like, come
right,
on,
right.
You know? But the neat thing was after that meeting ended, one of the pastors said, "Congratulations." I mean, he was so excited for me. He's like, "Let's go to lunch," you know? And from then on, it was like all these guys rallied around me.
Right.
And when they would do a hospital visit, "Come on, Dan, let's go," you know? And then, you know, when it came time to do a wedding, "Hey, I'm doing a wedding. I want you to come and sit in the premarital sessions with me." You
That's
know,
great.
And those type of things. Like,
right.
We're getting ready to do baptisms. Now, listen, what I do is, and they share those things, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
And so a lot of stuff, even funerals, I still talk about this. Pastor Eddie Alguero, who pastors C3 out there in the desert, great pastor, great man of God, great skateboarder, still... Guy's a grandmaster, you know.
I
just traveled to Europe or something like that. But yeah, he. I remember he did a funeral, and I watched him do something that to me I would have never done. He walked up to the casket with a smile on his face and just looked, you know,
right,
15 seconds, 20 seconds, something like
wow.
that, and then he walked to the family and greeted the whole family. He didn't tell me to do that.
Right.
But every funeral I do now,
you've observed it, yeah.
I'm like, if it's a picture, if it's, you know, some sort of memorial thing, I'll walk over, because the people, that's special to them, right?
Right.
Whether it's, you know, sometimes they'll have like a hat or, you know, a glove or something that they used in, you know, either sports
Connect,
or.
Yeah.
I mean, their work. And I'll take the time to go look at those things.
Yeah.
Because I saw something in someone else, right? And and so really that's the goal, is to get people to follow the way that they're doing life. And that was Jesus,
Absolutely.
Right? The way of the master.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
For sure. I think, going back to what you're saying, the hard part, not the hard part, but I think what is happening is people are not understanding that when it comes to Christianity, relationship is really the prime sort of way
yeah.
for this to grow, or at least to stick with us in a more profound way.
Yeah.
Because once again, if we make it all about the institution, then we lose that. So the institution is important for us to be there. And when I say the institution, I'm trying to diminish. I'm saying we come, we go to service, something happens in the corporate worship.
Absolutely.
But life happens when you're connected, when you're texting your buddy, when you get that conversation, when you guys go take your families together to the beach and sort of hang out, talk about those things. To me, are the things that have marked really my Christian walk in many ways. I think what has marked my pastorship would be what happens in corporate worship. But what has marked my life as a follower of Christ is what happens in individual relationships.
That's so good.
And it's so it's such a different thing for me in that way. And kudos to you. I remember when I first came on staff, you were the first person like, oh man, you're here now. Let me show you where the office is. Let me show you where we get our stuff. Let me walk over here.
I do remember that. That's where the supply closet is. Yeah. I remember the supply closet for some reason.
So it was just one of those things. I was like, oh, somebody at least is showing me the way. It's a simple way, but it is something that says, okay, here's the door. Here, let me walk you through this process, because at some point we're going to have that. Just recently in our Bible college class, when we're teaching a preaching, one of our students talked about how someone else in the church here insisted in contacting him, and then he sort of got cold in the things of the Lord. And he said this one brother saw him from across the yard one time. He was dropping off his kids, and this other person saw him and said, hey, I want to talk to you. And he's like, oh, man, this guy's going to call me. He wants me to go to prayer group. He was just kind of – and the guy was like, no. And he said, yeah, call me. But he said that other brother somehow saw him from afar and insisted, said, now wait for me right there, and ran across the courtyard and said, how you doing, man? Really tell me. And he said – it broke him down. It brought him back to the things of the Lord, because he was feeling cold. And it was just that effort, that's one guy. And those two families are very involved in our church today. Mm. They're doing amazing things for the God. And he said that conversation was a pivotal point for him between, do I continue my Christian walk, or do I continue to get cold, or re-engage? And he re-engaged because one person reached out, one person told him. And to me, discipleship in that way is so amazing. So,
you know, I absolutely, one of the characters of the Bible that I think doesn't get enough credit is Barnabas.
That's right.
I mean, when I preached the book of Acts, and did you do that in La Roca?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Correct.
Would we have the Apostle Paul as we had him if it wouldn't have been for Barnabas going and finding him?
Yep.
And taking him with him, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was as simple as that, like, hey, let's go.
Yeah. Would we have Mark? I mean, because Paul kicked them to the curb.
We definitely would not have John Mark. We can answer that one definitively. Yeah. Paul would have said, nope, you deserted us. You're done, right?
Yeah.
But Barnabas grabbed him.
Correct.
And made him profitable to where the Apostle Paul said, get John Mark because he's profitable
for
ministry.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. No, John Mark would have been blacklisted.
Yeah.
You're out.
Forget
nope.
it. Yeah.
I mean, and when you take a look, I'm so glad that the Bible has those stories, because it makes me feel good that, like, you know, when my shortcomings, if the Apostle Paul was so mad that he couldn't even, like, I mean, who fights with Barnabas?
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, apparently Barnabas was pretty stubborn too, because, I mean, there's two sides to that argument, but at the same time, it's Barnabas, man. Come on.
Son of compassion, the guy was after people. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, giving money and selling land and taking people along and believing in people. We would not have a John Mark.
No, not. Discipleship is such a big deal. It takes, there's a certain character about it too, but I just believe I'm just doing that. And one of the things I want to bring up as we're introducing this, the new book, the new rewrite that you're passionate about, that's in your heart. And that's awesome, because it's the print of God through you for our church, for where the church is heading now, for where Rock is heading now. And I think that's awesome. One of the things I would say when it comes to discipleship, I want to encourage people to feel like, hey, you don't need to know everything.
For sure.
And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people, I don't know enough about the Bible, I don't know. And it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, hey, make a friend, talk to your friend, open the Bible together. Here's a book that's going to walk you through some stuff. So
yeah, and that's really what I wanted to do with this, was just initiate, right? This is your first month as a new believer that gets you started on the right foot and opens the door to lifelong following of Jesus Christ, right? And with that, there's going to be people on the way. One of our pastors that has since moved and is no longer with us, Pastor Eleanor Becker, she used to say that people are going to be in your life, some for a season, some for a reason, and some for the long haul, right?
Wow.
And I love that statement, because like you said, you had your cousin at one point, and then you moved to the States, and there were other people in your life.
Correct.
Obviously your father-in-law and the family there that you married into, and there's some influences there. Then you came over with Dr. Barron, I know, has poured into your life.
Correct.
Pastor Jim.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned some of your co-laborers here that you're working with. Pastor Joel's a friend and stirs you up and encourages you and that sort of a thing. And so, along the way, I could identify people as well. You know what I mean? There's been people over the years that I could say, oh yeah, this was, this season, this was that season, this was, when I talk about the SPT, there's a guy named Tom that took me along. He taught me the transferable truths from Campus Crusade for Christ, you know, that he had learned on his missions organization. Correct. But I mean, even that, like my brother got saved and went on missions. So what did I do? Because that was my brother. I got saved and I went on missions, right? When I started tithing, it wasn't because I heard a message on tithing. Right. It's because I saw my brother tithing. I saw my parents giving money to the church. And so I was like, oh, that's what Christians do.
Yeah.
It was more caught than taught.
That is correct.
And I think that's what you're saying is that, like, sometimes people are like, well, I don't know the Bible like Pastor Dan, you know?
Right.
Guy, I've been studying this for 30 years.
Right.
You know?
Correct.
It's a different thing when, you know, you're a couple years in and you're going, man, I'm just learning this stuff. Yeah. But if you're living this stuff,
right,
you can still pour into someone.
Correct.
Interestingly enough, one of our instructors when I was in Bible college was talking about the Corinthian church. And he was talking about how they should have been spiritual, but they were carnal, right?
Right.
And the interesting thing that he put out there was based on where they believed that the book was written, what time they can kind of, you know, get back to those things and see that, like, based on this, it was probably about 3 years from the time the Apostle Paul planted that church to when he wrote 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
And what he deduced, concluded, right, is that within 3 years, he expected them to be spiritual.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I just, I've carried that because that means that if we're looking at expectations, right, how long does it take, right, for someone to get to the point of spiritual maturity where they can pour into someone else? It's not a long time.
That's very good, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's where when some of these people kind of in the church, you see them, they'll light up, right? Mm-hmm. Then they've got this zeal for the Lord, and you're going, okay, let's disciple you. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely need, because we want to partner that zeal with knowledge, right?
Right.
Because without it, you may be zealous for a good thing and just spin out, you know?
Yeah.
Or it may be like that seed that's planted in the shallow ground that sprouts up and is amazing, right? But then when persecution comes, burns away, right?
Yeah.
Withers and dies. And so that's where discipleship comes in. But in a relatively short period of time, someone can be around the things of God, be under the preaching of the word, be in discipleship and relationship with other believers that are ahead of them, and they can get to the point of spiritual maturity within a very short period of time and be spiritual and pour into someone else without, you know, having completed Bible college or read the whole Bible or any of that thing.
Correct.
That should give someone hope.
Absolutely.
You know, that should
Absolutely.
Give someone that I can do this. I can just bring someone along in my Christian walk.
Yeah, absolutely. If the goal is to be more like Christ, I don't. It's a lifelong journey, and so just go for it. The only time you see in the Word of God like limit to what you can do is if you're trying to be in leadership. Paul says, "Don't put them to early because they might become prideful." But that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with talking to a friend, growing together, praying together, reading the Bible together, going through, sharing each other's verses of the day. Like, that is part of just being a Christ-loving brother or sister and growing together.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're wrapping it up. And any final thoughts that you have as we're getting ready to land this plane?
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think the way that God led you to rewrite the book and put it in terms that are today, in the simplicity of it, but the importance of it, I'm excited. I think you've mentioned that you want to run, have all of us in the church do it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have it in Spanish too to release and do that together.
I better get to work.
And so having it to do together, I think that's awesome. People are looking for that, Pastor. I think people are looking to be led and introduce into a walk with Christ that they can handle. They can say, give me something, I want to run with that.
Amen. Yeah. Well, today's podcast is brought to you all by Easter Lawn Signs. They're going to be at the Info Hub on Saturday, and then out there at the equipping station.
Yes.
Someone will, we're giving them out just because, you know, we don't want them plundered and pillaged because there's a very limited supply because they cost money.
Yeah.
So anyways, we will have those available for those of you that want to put a lawn sign that says, join us for Easter at the Rock. But make sure to share, go grab a stack of cards, flyers, door hangers, go and knock on doors.
Yeah.
And if they don't answer, then hang the door hanger there. If they do answer, hand it to them and invite them to church. And then as well online, we do have the shareable graphics, all that kind of stuff, put on your social media. It's a great way just to get the word out there. And man, it's just going to be an exciting time, Easter at the Rock, and launching discipleship right afterwards.
Yep.
We're going to get it.
Amen.
We're going to do it in Spanish and English, all that. It's going to be amazing and wonderful. So, hey, make sure to like, subscribe, share. Maybe share in the comments, who discipled you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that'd be great to kind of see. So we love you guys, and we will see you real soon. Yeah.